Welcome everyone to a special episode of Kiwi Talks to review the Switch 2 Direct. Joining me is the man who I think holds the record for being on this podcast the most. He's art director at FuzzyBot and is currently working on Linked Banner of Spark, but he has also worked on games such as Uncharted 3, Mass Effect Andromeda, and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. He is Eric Kozlowski. How you doing, my man?
With pretty good. Epic, how's it going, everyone?
And his epic backdrop.
Yes. my micro arcade back there.
Yeah.
I did have Ridge Racer, but I sold it to make room for my turntable. So.
Nice. So how did you find the Direct overall, just to start off with?
I mean, it was cool. I mean, Nintendo showed some awesome stuff. I was hoping for a few more first party surprises, but I assume they don't want to kind of, you know, blow out their entire plan all at once and we'll get, you know, other kind of reveals as the year goes on. But yeah, I mean, you know, Mario Kart looks incredible.
It does.
A cool idea. You know, I know a lot of other racing games have done the open world concept thing, but I think Nintendo will bring their own kind of special charm to that format. So I'm excited to see what they do there. Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest Kirby fan, so the Kirby stuff didn't really hit for me.
Same.
Obviously, Donkey Kong looks amazing. I love the new look. Not 100% sold on the way they're handling his fur from just an artistic standpoint. I think the way we did it on Tropical Freeze was pretty amazing. I would have liked to have seen something more in that style, but I think his face, his redesign, I love it. I think he's super expressive. I love that mix of what Rare did with the 90s DK and the classic arcade style. It's like a nice blend of the two, and I think it's pretty dope. So yeah, and then, you know, Metroid, of course, looks amazing. You know, super silky smooth. Super stoked for those guys over there. I think they have another hit on their hands with this. And all the control options, of course, seem really cool and intuitive. The mouse control, you know, dual joystick, classic style. Even, you know, I saw the guy in the treehouse using two separate Joy-Cons. And then the From Software game, you know, Bloodborne and everything but name. So, you know,
yeah, pretty much.
Although it's multiplayer, which, you know, that was a little bit of a bummer. I tend to be more of a single player guy. But so, yeah, so there was something for everyone, I feel like. And you know Nintendo's working on a new Mario in the background. I mean, there was even a Zelda in there if you're into the Musou with the
Hyrule
Age
Warriors.
Of Calamity. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there was exciting stuff all around. You know, the GameCube virtual console stuff, Nintendo Switch Online. That's cool.
I thought they did a good job overall in terms of the different demographics that they were hitting. There was some stuff that I wasn't expecting to be there, obviously Bloodborne 2.0, and then some even GameCube games. I wasn't expecting that to be there. There is some stuff there that I'm like a bit confused by, like having Wind Waker on the GameCube service as opposed to porting the Wii U HD version. I don't really get that.
I thought about that. I was like, does this mean that we're never getting that HD version now?
Probably.
Like, God, it's so good. It's so good. But yeah, and then Twilight Princess, you know, because that's technically a GameCube game as well.
They
could just do that version. So yeah, I don't know. That is a weird. Nintendo is just weird. They'll do what they want to do.
Yeah, they're so unorthodox. It's very hard to predict anything that they're going to do. Because it's just...
Yeah, seriously.
I was very impressed with Mario Kart. I wasn't actually expecting them to go open world. I thought they might do like 8, but make it almost into Nintendo Kart. Because it looked like they were going that way with adding Link and the Inkling and Villager.
And Animal Crossing and all that. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of glad they did. You know, it's nice to have something that everything is so, the metaverse and every, you know, all that. And I'm glad that this is just staying in Mario's world. And yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, they're adding weird characters like the Moo Moo Meadows
Yeah.
cow. And so, yeah, like there's plenty of characters in Mario's world to kind of throw in there. And yeah, if you want to do a guest character every now and then, that's cool. But I don't think it needs to be Smash Brothers Kart. I
No.
don't think it needs to be that. So, yeah, in the open world, I mean, like, where do you go? Where do you go from Mario Kart 8 Deluxe? Like, that was such a feature-rich game, especially when you include the tremendous amount of post-launch DLC that they did. There's no place else to go. You know, like that game has like what, like 100 something tracks, something thereabouts. So just adding more tracks and better graphics doesn't really move the needle for me for what a Mario Kart 9 would be. Yeah, and so I guess like having this kind of connective open world where you could just drive around and enjoy the sights, or you could do like a cannonball run, you know, race from one end of the continent to the other, is a cool idea. So I think there's a lot of fun to be had there. So yeah, it's gonna sell gangbusters,
For
80
sure.
bucks or not. The
Yep.
elephant in the room, you know?
I mean, the price, I think, shocked everybody, but people are going to buy it. That's just the reality. I mean, it's basically Nintendo's biggest IP.
I mean, you know, at this point, you'd be silly not to get the bundle, right? Because you're
Yeah.
basically getting Mario Kart for 50 bucks at that point. And, you know, I guess if you want to buy the this the if you have no intention, so there's two things. If you have no intention of buying Mario Kart, then the price doesn't matter because 80 bucks, you're not going to buy Mario Kart. You buy the 450 version of the Switch 2. If you're going to buy Mario Kart, you need to get a Switch 2.
Yeah.
So buy the bundle. You know, so it's, and not to downplay, I think 80 bucks is ridiculous. I think 70 bucks is, you know, as a game developer, I do think games tend to be undervalued. I see what
Yeah.
goes into the development of a game, like how much resources, how much time, for the amount of entertainment value you're getting for your dollar. You know, it's a tricky thing, and everyone comes from a different economic background, and I don't want to be unsensitive to that because $80 for one person could be an astronomical fee. It could be a pittance to another. For me, it's expensive. It's not going to break the bank, but it is expensive. It makes me think twice. Like I haven't bought, you know, Metaphor yet because I'm like, you know, I don't want to spend 70 bucks right now. You know, yeah, I got another like Assassin's Creed or something like that. You know, I tend to be a little bit more, it becomes less of a impulse buy at that point, and something like you really want to get. So I think 80 bucks is pushing that needle a little bit too far. Even 70 is like tricky, but I get with inflation and the way world economics is right now, why companies have to do that. It sucks. I don't like it, but I tend to wait for sales these days myself.
Yeah.
You know, like the new RoboCop, Rogue City, I didn't buy that full price. I saw it was on sale a month ago for like 10 bucks. I was like, boom.
Sweet.
And it's an awesome game. It's great. I think it would have been worthwhile to buy at full price. So it's tricky, and I don't blame anyone for being upset about it. You know, I think you know the world economics are so messed up right now and getting worse every day with the garbage that's going on in my country. So yeah, I don't know. 450, I would have liked the system to have been 400 personally. I get it with the inflation and all the bullshit tariffs that are going on, why it's you know more expensive. But
Well, I wonder if
yeah,
that was
that's
taken into account, because weren't the tariffs announced on the same day as the Direct, and maybe Nintendo was trying to somewhat prepare?
there was already tariffs in line with like China, which is where all of the manufacturing probably happens.
Well, they
And then there
outsourced
was
to Vietnam some of the manufacturing, which just got hit with
Right.
a, what is it, a 40% tariff or
Something
something.
in something insane. Yeah. So it's like there's probably already consideration, and that may have been where the 450 came in. And then they had to freeze it again after all the crap last night with all the new tariffs. So I imagine that is factoring into why they're holding pre-orders right now. I don't know if it's going to get more expensive. I think it's telling that there's a region locked version in Japan, that's $340 when I don't know, the yen is weaker than the dollar right
It is.
now. But I think that's telling, that they could have such a drastically reduced price. Hey, if they have that option in the US, I'd never import. So I would be like, hell yeah, I'll buy a $350 version of the Switch 2 that doesn't play region-free games. But yeah, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
Worst
But
possible timing ever
and
for a launch.
I mean, the Switch, Nintendo makes amazing games, as we all know, and I think the features that they've included, like the sharing, that's a cool feature there. The virtual cartridges that they talked about in the last Direct last week is really cool. So I think, overall, like Nintendo, as far as like a feature-rich platform, the Switch 2, it's a shame all this, pricing stuff is kind of clouding their message right now. But I get it. People are hurting. Times are tough, and people want their escapism. They want their entertainment, and they don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg for it. I think, the PS5 Pro, that was like $700. Like, that's wild. Like, these prices are crazy. And I'm almost 45, so I grew up in the 90s, and I remember when I had to combine birthday and Christmas and present and a little bit extra for you to buy Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo, because it was like 70 or $80, and that was in 1992. Back when cartridges were like super expensive, and it sucks. Like, it's rough. So yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. I get it from one end. I'm a game developer. I know how expensive games are. But I'm also a person who sees the struggles of everyday people, so I understand the need for, some things to be more affordable, and I don't really have an answer for it. It's tricky all around. So just all I can say is it just sucks, and it gets in the way of, like, I think what should be like a really fun moment of like looking at all these cool games, that are coming out, and the fun stuff that Nintendo has planned for this platform.
I think one of the other things in regards to price as well is because Nintendo pretty much never drops the price in their games. Like, obviously,
Sure,
most of
you won't get a sale. You won't get a $10 version of Mario Kart ever,
No
like you would
way.
for RoboCop Rogue City. That's not gonna happen. So yeah, that on that end, I could see, yeah, like the Nintendo games. It's wild. So
And
But
it makes and yeah, and it makes me think, oh, I'm going to be a bit more cautious with Nintendo games. If I mean, it does look like Mario Kart is an outlier, and it's the only one that's at that
I don't
price.
know. I thought I saw Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom Switch 2 edition are $80.
What?
I
Really?
think I thought I saw that. Look it up, but I thought I saw that, and I was like. But then I heard that if you own those games already and you have the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pass, that those are free upgrades.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's yeah, I mean, but like if you did want to upgrade, yeah, just trying to find it here. It keeps defaulting to Australia, and I'm like, I don't want to go to Australia. Yeah, so the upgrades, I mean, how much are the upgrades for Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom? Have they even
And
announced it?
again, like I've just in the past day, I've been listening to a couple of podcasts, and I thought I heard that like it's $10 for just like a feature upgrade, and it's $20 for like a content upgrade. I don't know where I heard that, if that was on like the Jeff Gerstmann podcast. But yeah, again, like information in typical Nintendo fashion, information hasn't been completely transparent.
Yeah. So can you see that?
Oh yeah, I can see it. So $70.
Yep.
All right, maybe I would see, but see below, the Tears of the Kingdom is 80.
Yeah. That's weird, man.
So
And then Donkey Kong's $70 as well.
$70, yeah.
Yeah.
Kirby is 80.
So bizarre.
So yeah.
So they just, their pricing's all over the place.
Yeah, but beyond that, you know, I think the game's shown look really fun. I hope Nintendo, you know, shows off some cool Mario stuff sometime in the next 6 months.
I think they're focusing on the initial launch window, which is why they haven't announced for the latter part of the year. And also, there is also the beast that is GTA 6 and how that plays into everything. Because you do not want to launch anything near that.
Yeah. Even if you're a Nintendo. Yeah, man, that's such a weird one to kind of have to dance around.
And all the publishers are doing it, right? They're all they're all cagey in regards to when do we launch this thing. That's why, like, in the latter half of the year, you don't really have any specific dates.
I mean, I guess you could, you know, guess that maybe it's going to launch, you know, Black Friday timeline GTA 6, maybe. Just pulling that out of my backside, you know, like, I guess, but who the hell knows? Rockstar is going to do whatever the hell they want to do. They always have.
Yeah.
I guess, did they announce the launch date for Prime 4? Did they say that was?
They just said 2025, but.
Really?
Yeah. But I've heard through the grapevine that it's not finished. That's what I've heard.
Really?
The grapevine. Yeah. They're still working on it.
Because I was assuming that it would be a launch day title.
I mean, it looks amazing, but once again, you don't want to launch Prime 4 anywhere near GTA 6, which is also probably another reason they're being cagey. They're like, we don't want
to
say
it makes sense because, like, what is the other big game that they're going to launch with, right? They're launching with Mario Kart,
I mean, Donkey Kong. The following month
is in July, but think about it. So, like, if you're going to pick up a Switch, and let's say you're one of those people who doesn't want to buy Mario Kart, Prime 4 would be a prime game to launch with, because now you can get that audience that's more into maybe a hardcore game that's not, you know, multiplayer. I'm, you know, guessing that you would want to play like a game like Prime. So I don't know, but I have no idea. I thought they would have announced the launch date yesterday, but I guess I missed that. And they didn't say anything on the treehouse. I watched the demo where they played up to the first boss. So I don't know.
What I don't understand is the marketing for it, because the treehouse was really, really impressive compared to some of the trailers. I mean, that opening cutscene was incredible.
Yeah, with the, you know, it was funny, and I'm surprised he didn't call it out, but so the Federation force is fighting and they get in those big mechs.
Those are the
suits that you're in that chibi Federation force 3DS game. Trying to resuscitate that image of that game a little bit.
Yeah. So, I wonder if maybe like through your psychic powers, or maybe you get to control one later in the game.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah
maybe. I mean, it's obvious they're still keeping their cards close to their chest, because you've really only seen the opening and then like the first little part of Vuros.
Yeah, because we were talking, you know, on Blue Sky about like how I feel Nintendo very rarely does like a really good trailer. Like I remember up until Tears of the Kingdom came out, like everything they showed, I was just like, it looks great, but I'm not like hyped for it.
Yeah.
And then like right before it came out, they released like a hype trailer that I was like, okay, finally a good trailer.
Yeah.
But more often than not, like I remember when the trailer for Tropical Freeze came out, I was like, all right, I guess. It wasn't that like exciting. It was okay, you know, like I for whatever reason, Nintendo gets very literal with their trailers, for better or worse, right? They're like, this is what you're getting. Here's the gameplay. And they'll show you like, they never do like panache and like quick cuts and, you know, like exciting, you know, they don't tend to do that stuff. And I guess there's merit to that of showing you exactly what you're going to get, but it would be nice to get something that's like hype.
I did think the Metroid Dread trailer was pretty good.
I think that was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and then they do something pretty exciting.
It's like one out of every 10 trailers might be good.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But then, like, Western games I think, tend to go the other extreme where, like, it'll just be a big cinematic the whole time and you don't see gameplay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a matter of finding the balance.
But it's so funny because, like, speaking of Dread, like, I remember when they announced Dread, they were like, and here is Metroid Dread. Like, they just, like, said it and then they cut to the trailer. And I'm like, dude, don't say anything and just show it and then, like, cut to, like, Metroid 4, you know, and like, and then, like, people would have, like, but they, like, you know, they buried the lead, or not buried the lead, the opposite of that. They just came out and, like, so, you know, again, Nintendo being literal, but yeah, you know, much love to them. I hope they continue to be experimental, you know, with the online. Like, F-Zero 99 was, like, one of my favorite games of 2023, like, when that came out. I hope they do more cool stuff like that on the Nintendo Switch Online. Tetris 99 is great. I wish they would bring back Mario. What was it? Mario 25? No, it was like Mario 30 or something. Mario 34. What was that? That, like, game. And then they took it off after the year was over, like, the anniversary. But that was, like, really cool. So, like, I hope they continue to do weird stuff on their NSO. And, you know, adding the GameCube was super cool. I hope they get even weirder and add, like, Virtual Boy, you know? Let people play that monstrosity. I have one. I've played it. They should
really
see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, they'll probably do DS as well at some point.
DS and 3DS would be fantastic.
Would they do a 3DS, though? Would it just be better to just remaster?
I mean, they're doing that with Bravely Default, right? So maybe that's kind of like a toe in the water about, like, remastering 3DS games. So that's a good point.
I mean, I'd love to play the 3DS version of Ocarina of Time with the updated graphics.
Same. Majora's Mask as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. That would be great.
But
Star Fox 64, they did a remake of that on 3DS. Yeah.
So that could be another way to maybe... If they've got, like, gaps in their release schedule, you could, I suppose, up-res them to HD as well.
Maybe that's what they're holding on for Wind Waker and Twilight Princess for a rainy day.
Yeah, maybe.
sitting in the vault somewhere.
I think Twilight Princess probably needs more work than Wind Waker, though. Like, I would love for it to have... Do you remember when they showed off the Wii U, they had that Twilight Princess-esque demo, you know,
tech demo, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Really excited about,
like, if
that.
You redid the graphics with that level, I think that's all you need to do. Similar to what they did with Metroid Prime Remastered.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a ground up remake. So, like, I see this in the industry get tossed around a lot. The difference between a remaster and a remake. So, in my opinion, a remaster is when you're taking the base game, base code, and you're up-resing either through painting new textures or AI upscaling, but everything else stays the same and you're just getting better resolution. You know, better resolution textures, better resolution screen rendering. A remake is when you're completely rebuilding geometry, VFX, painting new textures, new normal maps. You know, like for Metroid Prime, like, that was a GameCube game. They had to, like, you know, resculpt new, you know, like, normal maps, resculpt characters. That was a ground up, even though the gameplay didn't change. A lot of people think, like, a remake, like, means, like, the game. It's like, no, like, they remade that game. They remade all the art in it. A remaster would be like Last of Us, Last of Us Part 1 coming out on the PS4 when they did that version, the PS3 version to the PS4 version. That's a remaster. And then a remake is like Demon Souls on the PS5 or Shadow of the Colossus on the PS4 or Metroid Prime. Even though they called it remastered, that was a remake. They remade that game.
Well,
not the same game that came out on the GameCube.
Well, so. I think part of the problem is the consistency, because every company has their own different interpretation of what a remake is or a remaster is.
Because they you know, if you were to do Twilight Princess in that fidelity and art style of that tech demo that you're talking about, that would be a remake. They would have to remake all those models, all those textures. You can't just take that Link model and magically make him look as good as he does in that tech. Like, you have to remodel it. You have to add geometry. You have to add better textures. So it's a remake. You're remaking the art assets. You're not just remastering them. But anyway, that's semantics. But I would agree. I would love to see a Twilight Princess is one of my favorite Zelda games. I love the art direction in it. I would love to see that game get a proper remake, for sure. I think a game like Wind Waker is so perfect because
It
its
doesn't need
art
it.
style. It doesn't need
Yeah.
it. A remaster is all you need, where they again they up-resed it, they HD'd it, and made it widescreen, messed with the UI, upscale the textures and whatnot. So yeah, I think that's all you need on that. But yeah, I would love to see Nintendo dip into some of their older catalog, especially N64 and GameCube era games for sure. I think GameCube you could probably get away with more of a remaster. N64 is probably more in the realm of like a remake.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it does make me wonder because, and I was talking to Mike Wicken, who was the senior designer on the Metroid Prime trilogy. He was in my live react to the direct.
Oh,
Yeah, so we were talking at the end, and we got into a discussion about Metroid Prime 2 and how it fits into everything now, right? Because do they just release it on GameCube in the online with online multiplayer? But then what does that mean for Prime 3? And then also,
right.
well, do you HDify it or do you remaster it? Like, it is really weird.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to play
And
two
then,
and three, and there's this gap now between one and four, and people don't have access to two and three. So it's kind of like.
yeah. And then you have also the Prime Trilogy. So like what control scheme are you doing? Are you doing GameCube controls or are you doing the updated controls they did for the Prime Trilogy, which was on the Wii? There's that.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, I'd love for them to just remaster 2 and 3 in the same vein as Prime 1 and maybe with the updated resolution of Prime 4 with the mouse controls and everything.
Yeah, I mean, if Prime 4 is a knockout success, and I don't see why it wouldn't be, maybe they do Prime 5, or maybe, yeah, they see the need to update those other two games. I mean, with Psylocke being a big character in Prime 4, bring hunters,
Hunters, yeah. Metroid
Because most
multiplayer.
people like, yeah, most people like, who the hell is Psylocke? Like, not many people, I'm guessing, played hunters or
No.
remember it. I mean, that game is almost 20 years old. So,
And that desperately needs a remake. I mean, it's looking pretty pixelated now.
I mean, it was like a, I mean, well, the
With a
demo was
DS
a
game.
launch. Yeah, the demo was a launch game for the DS, and then the actual game came out, what, like a year later, I think, if memory serves. But yeah, that would be a cool one to do. But yeah, I mean, what else do we, can we could, count on from Nintendo? I mean, obviously there'll be a new Mario. Will there be a Splatoon 4?
Probably.
Probably.
Smash Brothers. I don't
I mean,
know where that's
Sakurai's
going.
working on Kirby Air
Kirby.
Riders,
Yeah, so
so
Smash Brothers probably wouldn't start until after that's done. So it would still be years
probably,
away. And then even with that, I'm like, what do you do to Smash Brothers? Like, it's the ultimate package at this point. Yeah.
Same thing they had with Mario Kart, right? Like drastically changed the formula. But yeah, I mean, I've never been a big Smash Brothers player, so for me, it's easy for me to be like, yeah, up in the table and do something new. But I Smash purist would probably strangle me for saying that. And then yeah, like how do you top that many crossover characters? It's like
That would have
I don't
been
know.
an expensive game to make as well because of all the
Oh yeah.
licensing and stuff. Like
All the
all the deals he
licensing,
would have
yeah.
negotiated behind the scenes, Sakurai. Like getting
Yep.
Sora in there. Like, oh my gosh.
Sora.
Yeah, I don't know
Yep.
how much money that would have cost.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's just Square, that's Disney,
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I hope Nintendo gets weird, I mean, bring back Kid Icarus, I don't know, go back in that catalog and pull out some weird ones. I hope they go back to Star Fox at some point, like my thing was like, hey man, if you can't come up with a new idea for Star Fox, do what you did with like F-Zero. Like they couldn't come up with a new idea for F-Zero, so they went backwards and did F-Zero 99. It was awesome. Do something like that with Star Fox. Do Star Fox 99. 99 people dogfighting in space. I would play the shit
out
of that.
Yeah, actually, that's actually a really, really good idea.
So
I think people would be on board with that. Yeah.
Do it either in Super Nintendo graphics or N64 graphic style. You don't have to go HD with it. I think something stylized, right? Just like F-Zero did. You know, they went with the SNES visuals. I'd be down with some crude polygons. Yeah, I mean, I like when Nintendo gets weird. So it's fun. I mean, hell, they're bringing back Tamagotchi Life. Can't get much weirder than that. So.
Yeah, yeah. That is a weird game, but it's insanely popular.
Yep.
And there'll be another Animal Crossing at some point. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see how well it sells because it launched, obviously, at the perfect time in the pandemic.
Yeah.
So will it sell like 40 million units again? I don't know.
I mean, no previous one. I wonder how the DS and 3DS ones did. I've never been a big Animal Crossing player. Well, at least not before I started working on Linked, and then I had to educate myself on those types of games. But
yeah, I'm just looking at sales now. So New Leaf sold 13 million on the 3DS.
Okay, and then 40 million
good.
With New Horizons.
Yeah, 45 million. Much? 45 million. So
it's a pretty large margin.
They would have made some crazy money from that. Like you think about the budgets of Nintendo games, they're not that high. For the most part. I mean, they would have made crazy money from Mario Kart, Animal Crossing, even the Zeldas. I remember Miyamoto saying that Breath of the Wild needed to sell 2 million to break even. I'm like, bruh.
Oh yeah. You did that. You
destroyed
a couple magnitudes. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm curious where Zelda goes too. Like, we talked about Tears of the Kingdom. I didn't love Tears of the Kingdom as much as I loved Breath of the Wild. And I think it's for me.
But is it because you played it first? If you played Tears of the Kingdom first, would you have liked it more than Breath of the Wild? Yeah.
Yeah, I think my point is just that there's so much game in either of those. So whether, you know, I just like adding more. Just doesn't do it for me, you know. Like having more of Tears of the Kingdom, even with the cool Ultra Hands kind of stuff. Like I was just kind of like, I don't know. Like it just didn't. Maybe I'm just too much of like a old school Zelda purist, but I just kind of want that style more again, like something in the Ocarina of Time vein.
Yeah, I actually replayed Ocarina of Time on 3DS just a week ago, actually, and I was like, man, you can't beat this. This sort of refined design, as opposed to the open nature. I mean, it has its place, but I just can't see them going back to that style when it's printing the money that it is. You know, I mean,
yeah, but it's also, you know, like how long did we have to wait between games? 7 years? That's a long time to wait. I mean, I like that they're still doing the top-down Zeldas with, like, you know, Echoes of Wisdom. And Link's Awakening remake. So if they continue to do stuff like that, I mean, I still want them to remake Zelda 2 as a game that could use a remake. That would be curious to see what they did with that. You know, if they ever did that, like, would they keep it side-scrolling or would they really remake it and change the visuals, you know, to be like more top-down. But that's a game that's begging for a remake. So yeah, I mean, I just hope Nintendo takes those chances with the Switch too. There's a lot of fun to be had there. So
yeah, we actually haven't really covered Donkey Kong, which is quite an important one considering you worked on it. You know, you worked on the franchise, and there hasn't been an entry since Donkey Kong Country 64 in terms of the 3D.
3D, yeah. I mean, and there was a little snippet in there where it looks like it was side-scrolling. And it had very much...
With the barrels.
It had a very much jungle... the first level of Donkey Kong Country 1, Jungle Jinx? I'm forgetting. I mean, I'll always love Donkey Kong. A 3D version is the only logical evolution. I don't know I mean, I'm sure you could do another 2D, 2.5D Donkey Kong and then make it amazing with that clever level design, clever level gimmicks. But I think what they're doing with Bonanza is cool. The whole like digging down kind of break everything kind of thing is a pretty interesting spin. And Nintendo always goes for gameplay gimmick first, and then they attach a story or an IP to it. So they were probably experimenting with like the digging thing, and they're like, what can we add to this? And they're like, oh, DK breaks stuff. Let's put DK into this. That's probably how it went. I mean, I have no idea, but or
Well,
maybe they just were like,
it
we want
looks
to do
like
a
it's
3D.
the it looks like it's the Odyssey team doing it. It looks like their type of design philosophy and even the art style and everything. It looks like the same team.
So yeah, I'm curious what the connective tissue of that game is. Is it hub, you know, you're going to hub and then going to different things? Is it one open world interconnected world? Is it Kremlings again? There was a bunch of like chimpanzees running around, so like they didn't show any of the other Kongs. Is Diddy gonna be in this? You know, Dixie? Are they gonna get redesigned? You know, so I'm curious about all that stuff. So,
Well, I'd think they'd keep their designs the same since in the Super Mario movie, it's only Donkey
yeah,
Kong that really
Dixie.
has a different design.
So, yeah, I mean, in the theme park is using a lot of returns. I could, yeah. So I was kind of hoping they'd do some Tropical Freeze stuff just so I could be like, oh man,
It's my stuff.
I mean, I still have friends who work the return, so it's exciting to see their stuff getting repped in that theme park. But yeah, I mean, I'll check it out for sure. I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's cool seeing DK get all the different outfits and stuff like that. Like he's wearing just a tie in one, and then he's wearing pants in another. So like, there's something fun there about him getting to have different looks instead of just the typical tie. So yeah,
And
it'll be cool.
there'll be heaps of stuff that they haven't shown yet. I mean, if it was just breaking stuff the whole game, it would probably get a bit monotonous. So they'll break stuff up, like obviously with the barrels and whatever other stuff they decide to do. So there'll probably be a second trailer before it comes out. Maybe it'll launch for
I mean, are they
Switch.
gonna do? Are they gonna do like animals? You know, can you ride on like Rambi again? Stuff like that. So curious to see if how much of that country DNA comes in or not. You know, will they take any kind of? I mean, it looks like they are because they had the 2D section that was in there. So I'm curious to see what else they take from the country DNA.
Will they include any musical remixes of David Wise's stuff as
Oh
well?
yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, I think Grant Kirkhope, I think he might have responded on Twitter or Blue Sky about the music that he heard, because you know he worked on the I
He
think
did
he worked on
64.
64. So this is more in line with his work than David's work. But you know, David's work was such a big part of Tropical Freeze that, you know, it'd be great to hear some of his music remixed. So,
Well, he seems so intertwined with the franchise, it's hard to separate him. In the same
yeah,
way,
I mean, it.
Kenji Yamamoto is with Metroid. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know that with Returns, he was still at Rare, so I think that's why he couldn't do the music on Returns. But then by the time Tropical Freeze, he was freelance, and that's why we were able to bring him on board for Tropical Freeze. So, yeah, I mean, if he's available, I don't see why they wouldn't reach out to him, but who knows? Maybe there's language barrier stuff. I don't know.
Well, he had, because he worked with Yamamoto on Tropical Freeze. He was working with him, and he said there were language barriers that were frustrating because it obviously makes everything take twice as long, right? But he's obviously worked with it before. It might just be that it doesn't sound like he's doing the soundtrack. It doesn't sound like his style, personally, to me. So maybe there was conflict because he was working on something else. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, It'll be interesting. I mean, sometimes it's cool. I mean, I'm sure, like, looking at your Doom stuff, like, what is Doom Dark Ages going to sound like without,
Mick Gordon.
yeah, his music is such a big part of the Doom the new generation of Doom 2016 and Eternal. So similar thing, like, how do you forge ahead with a new sound, So I don't know. Do you just copy their style and hope that people dig it, or do you try and, well, we can't copy that style because it's so intrinsically tied to that person, so we need to try something new. But then, do you try and emulate David Wise, or do you try something completely new? So
It's a tough one because they kind of went through that with Zelda, right? I mean, Koji Kondo hasn't done the music, what, completely since Majora's Mask. He got help on Wind Waker. And then over time, he contributed less and less. I think he only did the main theme, I think, for Skyward Sword.
The reverse theme of Zelda's theme or
Zelda's
whatever, where
Lullaby.
you played it backward. I mean, that's the sad state of, as we get older, these giants that did so much of what we grew up experiencing are getting older, retiring. This is going to be Miyamoto's, probably his last console that he's associated with Nintendo on, so what is that torch passing look like? Like you said, Koji Kondo. So
I've heard Prime 4 is Tanabe's last game.
interesting. I had not heard that.
And I mean, Sakamoto is getting on as well. I mean, how old is he? Like 65, 66? A lot of these old heads, yeah. They can't be around forever. And it already looks like Miyamoto's moved on. I mean, he's focused on the Zelda movie now and the theme
Movie,
parks.
yeah, and the in the theme park, and rightfully so. The man's earned it. He's earned the right to do what he wants.
Yeah,
So
for sure. I
this
bet,
was
yeah,
so well.
if he goes to anyone at Nintendo and says, I want to do this, they'll be like, sure, go do it. You can do whatever you want. We didn't touch on the third party support for Switch 2, which already looks out the gate way better than the Switch 1. There were some surprises. I wasn't expecting Cyberpunk on there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like, again, I was listening to the Jeff Gerstmann podcast, and he was like, a lot of these games have been out for a while that people have a chance to play. Do they really want to play it on their Switch too? And my guess is that, for some people, this will be their first time having a system capable of running these games if they're only a Nintendo player. So maybe they haven't played Elden Ring, or Cyberpunk, or Hogwarts Legacy. But then at the same time too, it's like, I hope, like with From Software, there is some new third party stuff that comes as well. That's what I really hope from third party support, is we get stuff that's like, like a brand new experience, like the From Software game, which for the life of me, I can't remember the name. I always think
Dusk
Blood.
Bloods. Dusk Bloods.
Dusk Bloods. So stuff like that. I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope, I would love to see Capcom do something. I'm not necessarily exclusive, but something that's like Nintendo focused and not just a port. But it's good to see the support is there. But yeah, at the same time, I would like to see some new stuff as well from third parties.
Well, it looks like Borderlands 4 is releasing day and date, so it will be getting new games as well.
So like that's a great example there. I just think about the Wii U, and they're like, here's Arkham City, and I'm like, that game has been out for like 5 years, or maybe
Think
not five
part of
years
the
but
appeal is the ability to play it on handheld, because
yeah, that
a
is
lot
true.
of
It's a
people
good
actually
point.
talk about Steam Deck and these PC handhelds, but they're actually very niche. Like most people don't, like my best friend, he's owned every single PlayStation from 1 to 5. He has no idea what Valve is. He has no idea what Steam is. And there'll be a lot of casual consumers that don't know about any of this stuff. So to them, I mean, and Nintendo is so intrinsically intertwined with the handheld market.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah,
that's so, a great point. I didn't consider that, because I never play my Switch handheld unless like I'm
yeah,
on,
I very
traveling.
rarely do. Yeah,
but it's mostly like it's literally right in front of me on my wall. In my office, I have my there's my Switch right there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's my Switch right there. So, so I'm always just playing it, you know, like seated, but I'm going to PAX East in a month, so maybe I'll bring my Switch with me for that. So,
yeah,
make a hypocrite out of me and play it portable. But yeah, I mean, you know, the third party stuff is exciting. I love the weird games that come out for indies have always really thrived on the Switch. So we'll see what that brings. You know, saw Hades 2 announced for it. That's where I played Hades 1 was on Switch. So I'm really excited about that.
And Hollow Knight, Silk Song. It got like 3 seconds of footage just out of nowhere.
Proof,
like,
proof
there
of
it
life.
Is.
It's holding up a newspaper with today's date on it. Still alive. yeah, I know a lot of people at FuzzyBot were very excited to see that show up there. So
yeah.
But yeah.
What did you think of that weird wheelchair game, Drag and Drive?
I mean, you know, like, awesome on Nintendo to do something that's so, you know, like, kind of inclusive. I think that's great. I think it feels a little artistically drab, you know, like it's very dark looking. And I'm like, add some color, add some fun, you know, go with the art direction of something like Arms, like make this like very vibrant and poppy. It's like a weird warehouse. Everyone's wearing like gray and black and, you know, they have cool exaggerated proportions and I really kind of find that cool and interesting. But yeah, it just, I applaud them for what they're doing with the inclusivity and, my father was in a wheelchair for most of his life. So to see something like that was, you know, it's important. It's important that people feel that games represent them as well. So I love that aspect of it, but I think aesthetically it feels a little drab to me. So
it's basically a tech demo in the same way Arms was for, I suppose the mouse.
But yeah, I mean, if it's a fun game, it's a fun game. And I'm curious what they'll sell that game for, if it'll be a full price title or not. I don't know.
$80.
It doesn't seem very feature rich at the moment. It's just basketball. So I don't know what, you know, if it is other modes like racing or, you know, doing tricks on the half pipe and stuff like that. Like, that could be cool. You know, maybe there is some customization in there where you could deck out your character and your wheelchair and stuff like that. That would be really cool. You know, be cool if there's some stuff where you could add decals to the court, you know, and make it like, as you know, make it like your own kind of basketball court. That would be kind of neat. So maybe there is a lot of features on there they just haven't shown yet. But from what they did show, from what I've seen, I was just kind of like, oh, it's kind of depressing looking.
Yeah, because I suppose for you, that would be the thing you hone in immediately
on, always,
right? Yeah,
yeah,
like always on the art. So
yeah.
So that would just be a sticking point for you.
Yeah, immediately. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. I can sing with Donkey Kong. Before, like, anything else, I was like, his fur looks a little weird. You know, like, I'm looking at his fur, like, I don't know. Like, I think what we did on Tropical Freeze looked better. And that game came out over 10 years ago now. So, like, but yeah. I mean, that's the same thing with art. It's all subjective. It's all opinion. You know, like, what I find cool, another person's going to find, you know, people may look at the art direction and length and be like, that's just not for me, you know, but I happen to think it looks gorgeous, but I'm biased, you know, so.
Well, you're the director, man. So of course.
Yeah. Yes. I have to. If I don't, it's a problem.
Yeah. You can't come out and be like, oh, nah, I don't like my own art.
Yeah.
We
missed it. It looks like shit, guys. Turn around. We fucked up. So.
How's everything going with Linked as well, anyway? Because it's in early access.
Yeah, early access. We announced our launch date of May 22nd on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. So we're working towards that. Our reviews on Steam have been awesome. Like we're mostly positive with like almost 200 reviews. So we just released a really big update a couple weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, where you can now. So the game was single player, multiplayer. Single player, you go by yourself, and multiplayer, you could go with up to two other people. Now we've added a feature where you can go on missions, rescue robots, and then bring those robots with you into runs. So you could kind of form a party. And then you could level up those robots by crafting food for them and feeding them food. So we have this whole system where you could come up with these cool dishes, feed it to them, and then they get power. And so when they come with you on missions, they level up, have new abilities and stuff like that. So it's kind of a way to adjust the difficulty balance a little bit. A lot of players were, some players who didn't have a group to go on runs with, were saying the game was a little bit too challenging. So this is a way to kind of like balance that out a little bit. And it's been awesome. Like people have been loving it. We have like a competition going on right now in our Discord with like who can craft the most dishes, which is really exciting to see. So yeah, I mean, if people are interested, like hop on our Discord, playlinked.com, and check it out, because the updates, you know, that we just released, we did a winter update where we added a weather system to the game, so it rains and snows now, and then we just did this buddy up update, which adds the companions and the cooking system into the game, and then we have a whole new biome that's going to come out in our 1.0, so like the final chapters of the game, like the complete experience with new bosses, new enemies, new weapons. It's a pretty big 1.0 update. So that's kind of what we're working on now, and more info on that soon. But the big update that we just worked on with the buddy up has been really fun to see. And we have new weapons on that too that are food themed. So you can get like a carrot sword, you can get we have a thing called a battle board. It's like a hoverboard. And we have we call it the Marty McFries. And it's like a French fry thing that you could surf on. So it's pretty fun. We go pretty crazy with some stuff. But yeah. So if, yeah.
But you can do that because of the art style as well. Like you can just go ham with it.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's, we wanted a lot of the founders came from DICE, and so, you know, they were working on Battlefield, a lot of serious games. So like they wanted something that was way more fun and expressive. So we went pretty crazy with this. So it's a pretty vibrant kind of world to play in. And we've gotten a lot of compliments that our world feels pretty Nintendo-esque, which is like pretty much the biggest compliment I could take. And so you know, people have said, oh, we get Mega Man vibes from this, which again, that's by design. I'm a pretty big Mega Man fan, so I wanted to really lean into that ethos of that world. But I think you'll find, players will find that there's a lot of influences in the game, but it is hopefully like something very original. Like I tried to take my inspirations, you know, put enough there so that you can recognize the inspiration, but hopefully experience something that's original. But you know, there's an echo there that gives you a little bit of a ping of something that you might've experienced before. So you may be like, oh, this is kind of reminding me of Mega Man a little bit, you know, but it's not like robot masters that are giving you their powers and stuff like that. You know, it's, we did look at Inafune's, you know, designs and stuff like that, but I wanted to make sure that we weren't like aping those designs when we came up with our robot characters. So consoles is going to be fun. So,
and yeah. Switch 2 will be on the cards at some point, probably.
Some point, yeah. I mean, we just found out all the stuff, just like everyone else.
Yeah, it's like, you know. Yeah. Have you gotten Steven Spielberg to QA the game?
Since he's... I'm sure he's played it. I know Max has shown him, you know, the game, and he's been very complimentary about it. Which is a huge rush for me to hear him say as much. I know very early on, Max showed him some concepts I was working on, and came back with like, my dad just said that like, oh man, like the art direction's awesome or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. And that was like huge. So yeah, I don't know if he's played directly or if he's just seen Max demo the game for him, but yeah, I know he's been, you know, into what we've worked on. So that's exciting to see, but yeah, I would be awesome if he's play tested the game at some point.
Well, he is a gamer, right?
Steven Spielberg is. Yeah.
But I think I remember when you did your interview with Min-Max, I think Max mentioned that he's just not good with a controller. He's like
he's a mouse keyboard guy. We do have a mouse keyboard support in our game, but I think for me, I find it easier and more intuitive to play with a controller. But I'm a console gamer. I'm the opposite of
I'm the same.
So I was playtesting the game with keyboard and mouse yesterday, actually. I was getting my ass kicked. So, and I was like, oh my God, it's so hard. You know, it's important to make sure the game is still fun on mouse and keyboard. And we have some people at the studio who played exclusively mouse and keyboard. So,
Well, that's why it's so good, I think, to have options in terms of how people choose to play a game.
Yeah.
Yep.
The more accessibility is really important. Our UX lead, Evan, is very much in tune with the accessibility angle and making sure that, you know, people of all different stripes can remap controls, you know, experience the game, and that we're not, you know, like alienating people. So we want as many people as possible to play this game. So I it's important that we keep that accessibility in mind so that, yeah, like maybe you can't hold the controller for, you know, accessibility reasons or comfort or whatever. You should be able to play it with mouse and keyboard. So, you know, that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, are you going, well, this is probably hard to answer now, but would you consider buying a Switch 2 at launch, or are you going to wait?
You know, I thought about that. I think I might wait. I bought a Switch 1 at launch, and as much as I want to play Mario Kart World, there's nothing at the moment that I feel like I had to play Breath of the Wild. I had a Wii U, but I was like, you know what? I need to play it on a Switch. That's not quite the case. Maybe when Bonanza comes out, that'll be the one that's like, all right, I got to play this. Or whenever they announce Prime 4's release date, you know, maybe that'll be what kind of gets me to sink into it.
Yeah. I think I'll probably wait for Prime 4. After seeing the Treehouse footage and how glorious it looks in 4K.
Yeah.
And we haven't even gotten into the 120 frames per second, which is crazy.
So I know in New Zealand it's probably going to be pretty expensive, the Switch 2.
I saw it's about $870 New Zealand, and then Mario Kart is $124.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So it is pricey.
You get to live in Middle Earth, so it's
Yeah. Well, it'll be Hyrule soon as well, so that's cool.
Shit, that's right, man. Like you said, we gotta
make this happen, man.
Fly my ass out there.
Yeah. We'll be an extra. I've actually because I know actors who are connected in the industry, and I was like, hey, is this legit? Is this a thing? And they're like, yeah, it's an actual thing. So they're trying to get roles for it, even if it's a small part. And they gave me like some contacts to be an extra. So
I'll interview you then about your experience.
Oh, dude, we're gonna see if it happens first. And there's still a lot of information that hasn't even come out. As far as I'm aware, there are no roles currently advertised for extras. Mm-hmm. I got given the producer's email. What's his name? Avi. I have his personal email.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I'm not just going to personally email him and be like, hey, can I be an extra?
Yeah.
He probably gets like hundreds of emails all the time. So, but yeah, man, if I get the information, I'll let you know.
Because like what major city are you? Do you have near like Auckland or?
I'm about an hour outside of Auckland. I'm like about 40 minutes away from Hobbiton is where I live.
Okay, so, nice.
So, yeah. I'm kind of rural. Yeah.
But that's good too, because I mean, I imagine that a Zelda movie will be filmed in a lot of rural locations, you know, so
yeah,
it probably
yeah.
will be, a, you know, so.
I mean, New sure Zealand like pretty much, casting. When I was playing Breath of the Wild, I'm like, this is New Zealand, like pretty much. It's just because New Zealand's got all the landscapes you need. It's just condensed into two islands. So, and I imagine Weta being here has a lot to do with it. Wes Ball, he worked very closely with Weta on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Have you seen that, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I've seen all the Planet of the Apes movies except for that one. That's the one I still need to check out.
Dude, it's good. From a visual effects standpoint, it's good, man.
I love those movies. I just think they're fun.
Yeah, they are fun. But I was a bit worried at first. I was like, he's done Maze Runner. I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then I watched Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and I was like, oh, no, he's got this.
Yeah.
It'll be fine, yeah. At least from a visual standpoint.
That's the thing is, like, sometimes, you know, like, storytellers just need their right break. Like Craig Mazin, before he did Chernobyl and Last of Us, like, I think he wrote, what was it, like, Hangover 2 or something? Like, Craig Mazin, like, didn't, like...
He wasn't super well-known, yeah.
Yeah, and he hadn't worked on anything, like of that level, you know? Like, once I saw Chernobyl and then found out that he was working on Last of Us, I was like, yeah, this dude's got it.
Yeah.
But, like, same deal. Like, all it takes is, like, the right project, I think, to bring out your kind of, like... your metal. You know, sometimes it's, you know, in any industry, it's like you hustle to get what you can get. And so Maze Runner may have just been him.
It's his foot in the door, I think.
Foot in the door. He's working on, you know, a young adult book. Maybe there was studio interference there. I mean, it was a decent movie. I thought it was fine. You know, so as he grows as a director, so, you know, I hope, you know, I'm sure Nintendo has probably got a pretty heavy thumb on the Zelda movie, but I hope that they can they can adapt it well. So.
They're co-financing.
I mean,
they're okay. 50% is co-financed by
them. And I thought the Mario movie was great. You know, I mean, I wasn't crazy about Chris Pratt's casting, but he did fine. He was fine. You know, he wasn't awful. He wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. But the movie was fun. You know, for what it was. So.
Yeah, and so I know. Nintendo loved Lord of the Rings. I mean, Twilight Princess is definitely influenced by Lord of the Rings. I mean,
yeah.
You can clearly tell. Yeah. So, I mean, this is probably their attempt to try and emulate something like that.
Here's a question for you. Do you think they adapt a pre-existing Zelda story, or do you think they reinvent a completely original Zelda story for this movie?
I think they'll go the original route. I think if you try, I mean, especially if, I mean, are you going to give Link a voice? I feel like you kind of have to.
Oh, you have to. As soon as they went live action, you can't just have some dude on screen not talking.
Yeah. I mean, it was already starting to feel a little bit weird in Tears of the Kingdom, and we talked about that in our review, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where it's like Zelda's talking and
she's
nothing.
Just staring at her blankly, Yeah, I mean, I wonder if do they adapt Zelda 1, you know, the OG Nintendo? Do they adapt Ocarina, which is the most, you know, kind of lauded Zelda game?
Well, they're shooting a trilogy. Apparently.
Oh, they are.
They're doing a trilogy over a span of 6 years, apparently.
Damn.
So I don't know if they're going to do the whole Peter Jackson thing where they shoot all three at the same time.
Back to back to back. Yeah,
that's a very hard thing to do. And I mean, Peter Jackson's the only one who's done it now twice.
I mean, you have to get major commitment for the actors to like live there and, you know.
Yep. And I mean, it's probably cheaper to do it that way. Especially if you're getting unknowns, because then you don't have to renew contracts every time.
Yeah.
So you would save on costs, but yeah, it is a huge commitment. So.
I'm excited.
Yeah. It'll be good. I thought the Mario movie was good for what it did.
Yeah, exactly. It's a kids' movie. It was fun. I didn't expect high art out of Mario. It looked visually beautiful. There were moments where I hate needle drops, so I didn't like what they did with a lot of the music in that, where they all of a sudden, you know, it's like you have a history of incredible Mario music that's been, you know, orchestras have played it. Just use the Mario music. You don't need to put Take On Me, you know, in this movie, you know? Like, you don't need to do No Sleep Till Brooklyn from the Beastie Boys. Like, I get it. They're from Brooklyn. Come on, you could play something else. But I know some people really like that stuff. But so
the soundtrack was good for the Mario movie, though. Yeah. Who was it? Brian Tyler. A lot of Easter eggs, I think. It was Brian Tyler. Yeah, a lot of Easter eggs in terms of the music, and I think Koji Kondo oversaw some of it as well. So it would probably be the same with the Zelda.
I had no problem with the score. I just didn't like when they just put in pop music.
That's weird. That was weird.
So.
And you would have had
watching,
to.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say you'd have to pay quite a bit for licensing as well to do that. Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to do it in Zelda. It wouldn't make sense. No. You know. Although I was watching Blue-Eyed Samurai on Netflix, and all of a sudden she's fighting in a remix of Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls fucking start. I'm like, what? Like, okay. So I guess you could insert pop music in any genre, any time period, even feudal Japan.
Well, I hope they don't do that, but we'll see. I guess as time goes on, we'll find out more information about the films and
I mean, what the intent 2026 is. So do they see the 2027 they said for the movie, right?
Yeah, I think it
because
is.
They had the release date on that new Nintendo app.
Zelda film release date, let's see. 26th of March 2027.
So they'll probably get a trailer sometime next year,
possibly. Well, hopefully they're better at movie trailers than they are at video game trailers. Yeah, but time will tell. Cool, man. Hey, this has been great, bro. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
No, man. I'll talk to you anytime, man. And it's so exciting to see all the friggin' fantastic guests you've been able to get on. I feel humbled now that you still think of me when you're interviewing people like Mark Layden and shit. You know,
Sean Layden. Yeah.
Sean Layden. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he was great. It's great to talk to. I think the hardest part is reaching some of these people. Like, I get a lot of requests to speak to Phil Spencer, and I'm like, I don't have his contact details. Otherwise, I would. Yeah. If somebody wants to get them to me, fine. This has been great. If anybody wants to follow you and Linked, where's the best place for them to do that?
Oh, yeah. PlayLinked.com. I'm on Blue Sky. What is my Blue Sky handle?
You're pretty much everywhere now, aren't you?
Yeah, I try to avoid the other one.
We won't mention the name.
VonKaz.bluesky.social. PlayLinked.com, FuzzyBot.com. Hop on our Discord about if you want to learn more about the game. Like I said, May 22nd, we'll be launching on PlayStation, PC, and Xbox. And
cool. All right. Well, that is the show, everyone. Make sure you share, like, and subscribe. And until next time, stay safe.